World Football at AFCON with John Bennett.
Welcome to the show and welcome to Abidjan. Yes, I have arrived. World Football at AFCON is finally at AFCON. I am in Ivory Coast. We're in the area of Kokodi in the city, which is right opposite one of the big stadiums they're using for this tournament, Stade Félix Houphouët-Boigny, where the Nigeria-Angola quarterfinal will be taking place. And the man next to me tells me that it's very hot. It's the hottest stadium because he's been here the whole tournament. George Addo, how are you?
I'm good. Bonsoir.
Your French hasn't improved then since you've been here.
Oh yeah, it has. It certainly has improved. I've had to learn a few things to be able to go around, you know, speaking to people and trying to get directions and all of that. So yeah, I think my French is plus 20%. It's not bad.
George Addo, of course, Ghanaian broadcaster, regular voice on the BBC World Service, and he's been commentating for TV on the games here throughout the tournament, and he was with us on our preview show when he made some predictions, so we will go back and assess those predictions. First of all, though, George, I've just arrived. You've been here for a few weeks now since the tournament began. What are your overall impressions? Watching from a long way away, it's felt like one of the best AFCONs in recent memory.
Yeah, I think it's certainly one of the best AFCONs. The organization has been great so far. I didn't know a lot about the passion that the people of Ivory Coast had for football. I think that is seriously immense. I thought we were very passionate in Ghana, but hey, man, when Ivory Coast won the game against Senegal, the things I saw just stopped me.
Really? Because I saw empty seats from home. The first couple of games, there were empty seats. Do you think that's completely turned around now? Yeah, the passion is there.
Yeah, I think it's turned around. And I still feel that there probably was a mix in how that... Because in the stadium, we saw people in the stadium. We don't know how that number came up, 36,000. So hopefully that has been sorted out. But clearly the numbers, when Ivory Coast has played in other games, have already gone up. And the game against Senegal was very, very interesting. After they won the game, the whole of Yamoussoukro was packed. I was in the CAF bus. The bus could not move. And the supporters around the bus thought that was the team bus. That was their team bus. And they were dancing around and hitting the bus. I tell you, for close to 48 minutes, the bus was just rooted in the same spot. And these people were so happy. They had to call for reinforcement to help us move to the airport and get into the plane.
Did you feel like a star?
Oh yeah, I feel like a star. So I was just looking out there. So I said, can we just go out and tell them that, hello guys, this is not the team bus, but they were singing, dancing, and wow. I haven't experienced anything like that before. You know, that Ivory Coast Senegal game, the things that happened after the game. And it was late in the night. Nobody slept in this town. The noise went on till about 2, 3 a.m., 4 a.m. I'm like, wow. I love the passion that the people here have for it. The dancing, the music has been great. The food has not been a lot different from what we have in Ghana, so it's been easy for me to go around. But yes, you have to work on your French. You have to work on your French if you want to be able to navigate the town much better.
I'm saying it's the best I can remember in recent memory, best start to an AFCON. Do you agree then? Would you put it up there so far? I mean, we've got a long way to go, quarterfinals, semifinals, final, but do you think it's the best ever start to an AFCON?
Yeah, I think so, because the things that we've seen in this competition are simply unprecedented. I mean, all the teams that participated at the World Cup have been knocked out of the competition. The top five ranked teams in Africa have been knocked out of the competition. The last quarterfinalists in the last Africa Cup of Nations have been totally replaced. The shocks didn't just happen even in the round of 16. It started right from the first day. We saw Nigeria drawing with Equatorial Guinea 1-1. We saw Cape Verde beating Ghana, Mozambique drawing with Egypt, Mozambique drawing with Ghana when Ghana had a 2-goal lead with just 4 or 5 minutes at the end of the game. I haven't seen anything like this. And from a commentator's perspective, I have been humbled, and I walk into the commentary box just waiting for what will happen. I do not even predict anymore because, as you know, all my predictions are already gone.
Well, I can't remember. I can't remember who you predicted. I think your dark horse was Burkina Faso. They've gone. Yeah, and who did you say was going to win it?
My God. I said Senegal.
You say Senegal.
To be fair to Senegal, they started the competition, and I was like, yeah, I said this team will win it. They played against Ivory Coast in the first half. They scored the first goal like under 3 minutes. I said, yeah, I know this team I'm talking about. And then the second half, especially after the Ivory Coast equalizer.
Beware of group stage champions. Remember, Nigeria were group stage champions at the Cup of Nations 2 years ago, and then they went out in the last 16.
Yeah.
Same with Senegal.
It was actually the thing that was ringing my mind when Ivory Coast qualified through luck or whatever it was, they qualified to play against Senegal. I was like, this is the Senegal who have played so well in the competition. Maybe not so well, but they got all the results that they needed. And this is Ivory Coast, who just won the first game and lost the two. Now you put the two together, it's upstairs, downstairs, but this is the kind of subplot that AFCON loves and AFCON, you know, stories just love. And so I was surprised that Senegal were that bad in the last 30 minutes of the game. Even more surprised that Ivory Coast were so good despite all the drama around them. So hey, if you start doing well in the competition from the start, you've got to be careful. Now I can say that you've got to be careful. If you're winning all your games, you've got to be careful, you may be in trouble.
I went for Egypt to win it, so that's gone. But I said, I'm in danger of saying this too much, and people are getting annoyed with me, but I said South Africa, dark horse, so I'm absolutely delighted. Yeah. Right, before I bang on about that too much, let's get to the quarterfinals then. Let's take them game by game. Nigeria, Angola. I've been impressed by Angola, but I've got to say the Super Eagles have to be favourites for this game. I've seen so many Nigeria fans on social media saying we're not favourites. Yeah, they're desperate not to be favourites. But surely with the team they have, the talent they have, the way they're playing, the fact they have the African Footballer of the Year up front, Nigeria, they have to win this game. The pressure is on the Super Eagles.
Yeah, you feel that they're one of the most experienced sides in the competition's left. They've actually won it three times, and they should be able to go around this Angola side. But the Angolans are tricky. The thing I like about Nigeria is Victor Osimhen, the African Player of the Year, is showing a lot of commitment. The players are showing a lot more commitment, and that's what you need on the pitch, flying into the tackles, wanting to put themselves out there and get a result. You need that so well. But against Angola, Angola have such a sweet attack. They don't need too much of the ball. When they have the ball in your 18-yard box, they know what to do with the ball. And that is where Nigeria has to be careful, because you can play so well. If you don't kill the opposition, Angola are the kind of team that can just one chance and score, can get just a second chance and score. So they've got to be very, very careful. Even though I think that they are favourites, they have to be careful. And Angola is a tricky opponent to play against at this point in the competition.
Defensively, though, Nigeria are so strong, aren't they? We talked about so much before the tournament, in that tournament preview that we did on World Football at AFCON, about how good they are going forward. But defensively, they look so solid. William Troost-Ekong leads the back line so well. Calvin Bassey, for me, has been one of the players of the tournament. Yeah. I think they'll keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, because the stats in the AFCON, very different from what they were doing in the qualifiers. In the qualifiers, they were scoring more and conceding more, and were struggling to get the results. In this competition, they have defended so well.
There's the goalkeeper situation, though, isn't it?
Goalkeeper situation, yes. In fact, what we thought, you know, Nwabali was going off and Uzoho was coming on, a lot of people felt like, oh, not in there. But I think that credit to the defence, the Nigerian defence have been really resolute. They have managed everything well. I've been looking at the wing-backs, the likes of Ola Aina doing his work very well. And that midfield has also done well progressing. I thought Iwobi was monstrous in that game against Cameroon. They didn't even see
him. He worked so hard.
So the commitment level of the Nigerian team has gone up. And maybe now they're feeling that it's possible, we can do it. They just have to be aware of Angola.
So let's move on to DR Congo against Guinea. And don't tell Gabriel Zakwani, regular guest on World Football at AFCON, but I'm in the same hotel as the Guinea players.
Oh.
Because, you know, if he finds out, he'll be wanting me to put something in the lasagna the team meal.
Yeah.
But I can't pick a winner in this one. Yeah. This is going to be so close. I was at the press conferences on Thursday, and neither side wanted to consider themselves favourite. They were all talking up their opponents and saying how much they respect each other. If ever there was a 50-50 game, then DR Congo against Guinea is a 50-50 game, which says to me we're going all the way to penalties here.
Yeah, easy. I think I go with that, because DR Congo have been a very difficult side to break down. It was the DR Congo game against Morocco that gave me a little bit of an idea that Morocco may not be able to do the job here at the Africa Cup of Nations, because they are physical enough. They're able to get the goals when they want to get the goals. The likes of Mbemba Chance has led this team so well. Bakambu up front as well. You know, he's tried to get the goals when he can. But equally, the Guinean team is another team that will be very difficult to break down in midfield. Sinayoko doing his best out there. Nabi Keita, when they have to call on the guys to come on, they've also been good. So it will be a very tough game. We'll be stodgy at times. and very little things will decide who's going to win this game. And like, if it goes to penalties, I'll be surprised, because the two sides I see them
You're commentating on this one, aren't you? So yeah, get ready for the penalty shootout. Get ready, do your maths.
You know what that means for a commentator, right?
Yeah, I always worry about my maths when I'm commentating on a penalty shootout. This penalty to win it. Oh no, actually, no, it's the next one. Right, well, we've talked a little bit about Ivory Coast. Yeah. Mali, Ivory Coast. Again, this is really hard to call. If you'd asked me during the group stage, I'd have said comfortable win for Mali. You're asking me now, when Sebastien Haller coming back into the team, possibility that he could start. He's not quite fully fit, but he made a real difference. Adingra, I thought, coming on was brilliant for Ivory Coast. Suddenly, they have some real selection dilemmas, Ivory Coast. It looks like a really strong team.
Yeah, who are fired to go. Another player, Seri. Seri did so well in that last
game. Man of the match, wasn't he? Man after being recalled by the new coach.
The new coach, amazing. And I don't know what he did to the likes of Max Gradel and Sergio Ria. They came in and were happy to play for him. And they have the backing of the country now, and that is going to be a huge thing. Now, the Ivory Coast Mali game is interesting, because if you look at the location of Mali, a lot of Malians are going to be coming down into Boaké. Like we've seen, like Guinea, for instance, a lot of Guineans are here. So expect to see a lot of Malians in there, but definitely Malians. I know the problem is you are going to be overshadowed by the Ivorians, all right, but they'll be there in their numbers. So that's going to be an interesting game. And the Malians say that Boaké is their home. Like Burkina Faso was saying that Corogo was their home. The Malians believe that Boaké is their place, so they would love to play Ivory Coast there.
Oh, that's interesting. So the atmosphere will be different to what we imagined. It won't be like a home atmosphere.
No, it will not necessarily be like a home atmosphere, especially when I watch Burkina Faso and Mali. Because Burkina Faso, Mali, Guinea, they're around the Ivory Coast, and it's easy for them to come in. And loads of them have come in. So that game is going to be, there's so much on. There's even a layer of, you know, political, you know, stuff going on. So the Malians always want to prove a point to the Ivorians, and the Ivorians want to prove a point to the Malians. Now they've got a game to decide who does it. Mali will be very happy to knock out the host nation, Ivory Coast, but Ivory Coast will also be very happy to send a message to everybody that they want to try and win this one. So it's an interesting game. I think anybody can win that game, but I'm thinking that the home advantage for Ivory Coast may kind of get them there. But Mali are also a very, very disciplined side. Under Eric Chell, the side have playing well. And in the last game, there were up to six changes, including, you know, a star man like Bissouma on the bench. But they played a fantastic game. So they know exactly what they want to do out there, and it'll be very interesting to see how it goes.
And last but not least, Cape Verde against South Africa. Can you imagine how smug I'm going to be if South Africa, my dark horse pick, get to the semi-finals? But these are two well-coached teams, aren't they? And yeah. Cape Verde, they've looked sensational. It's a real team effort. So many different goal scorers in their team. Yeah. There's not one player that stands out. South Africa have got a lot of Mamelodi Sundowns players. Yeah. They know each other so well. Hugo Broos is their manager, who won the AFCON with Cameroon 2017. Again, this is a close one. Cape Verde, for me, start probably just about as favourites.
Yeah, I also take them as favourites because, to be fair, they have more technically gifted players. It's always the mix that you go with Cape Verde, the Cape Verde players, some of them originally born in Portugal before naturalizing for the team and everything. So they've got a real technical team and a real technical set of players. And we see the way they played. I've watched a number of Cape Verde games. They are not easy. You can't push. They are not pushovers. No way they are. I saw the game against Ghana. I saw the game against Egypt. I saw the game against Mozambique. The only team that destroyed Mozambique, beat them by 3 goals, and they were all wondering, how, where's all of this? And they've kept on progressing. Aside what they're doing in this tournament as well, there's been a serious progression from the last Africa Cup of Nations, from 2013, what they've done, or 2015, what they've done here. So I don't know if you're going to give me another chance to predict who I think is going to win again. But they are like that team that can quietly go around and get it.
Oh,
win.
Cap third to
you
win
know,
it.
Yeah, you know, because I'm feeling like if this tournament wants a new winner, then you have to go for Cape Verde. But South Africa is an interesting one because of Hugo Broos, who understands the competition and will know what to do with the boys.
One prediction we can get right: if Bebe gets a free kick from 60 yards out, he's going to shoot. I've never seen someone so, because he's scored one at this tournament from a long way out, and he thinks he can shoot from anywhere. Yeah. George, very quickly, in 10 seconds, what's been your favourite food since you've been in Ivory Coast? What would you recommend?
Shikuya. That's chicken with vegetables, and you get aloko, which is plantain on the side, and ri, which is rice.
George, I cannot wait to sample that with you. Enjoy the quarterfinals, everyone. Thanks for joining us on World Football at AFCON.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.